On our agenda, we have interaction written by the insurance sector, education and training authority, and the education, training, development, practice sector, education and training authority of on the annual report 2009 and 2010. Then later we have an interaction with the DG of higher education, who join us through the session just after the event this morning. Just to finalize what we could not conclude yesterday on the higher education and training expenditure program 2010-11. So I would like to welcome the two speakers that have joined us today. Thank you for coming to the meeting, and we have received the report. We take your presentation, but before we can do that, I noticed when I was going through the report that on the indicator that the CEO that has been appointed, the last one indicated was the indicator, which was founded out. So I would appreciate if we can just do a quick introduction so that we know who is here with us and who we are interacting with as a community committee of higher education and training. So without any time, I'll just start sharing with you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Rama Govindan. I'm the chairperson of INPISA. Thank you for the opportunity to present at this parliamentary portfolio committee hearing. In terms of the INPISA people that are here today, Sandra introduced herself, Sandra the CEO. Next to Sandra, we have Jay Ngoma, who is a council member on my left. Immediately on my left is Marty Naidu, who is the deputy chairperson of INPISA. To my right, immediate right, is Marius Herber, who's our financial manager. And next to Marius on his right hand side is Tumi Pile, who is our leadership manager. Okay, so thank you very much for the opportunity, and I think we'll leave it open to you to direct proceeding.
And I request that the delegation from the CDT teacher also introduce themselves, so that by the time it comes to the delegation, we don't have this interaction.
Now, thanks, Madam Chairperson. I am the chairperson of the board of CDT teacher. I'm George Mugumela. Next to me is the CEO of ECPP CETA, and it is the CEO Mugabe-Mwenzi. Next to us is the Chief Operations Officer, the CEO, with Dr. Barton Marcus. Next to him, on his left, we have Mr. Wayne Cotton, who is our acting CFO.
Thank you very much for this introduction. Without any certain members, we have documents printed out that the presentation could be cited as well. Maybe before if he has any authority so that we are recorded for the meeting.
Mr. Chairperson, we will receive a approach from the chairperson of the committee, Mr. Franzman, as well as the Minister for Mr. Hartwell, from the APA, Mr. Lopez Lorenz, from Coke Business for Gouza, Mr. Bontan from ISP, as well as Mr. Adams from Office.
Thank you very much for the
opportunity.
Mr. Mokvela, I will be arriving late. Okay. Without any risk of time, shall I start with the assistant with the presentation? You can pick up from your presentation and that's our subsequent government over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a few words from my side and then I'll hand over to different members of the delegation to present on various aspects. I think it's a great opportunity, like I've indicated, and we're thankful for this. For us in CETA, it's been an important year of consolidation. As you had indicated earlier on, our CEO was appointed late last year, October 2009. So it's been an important year to get down in CETA and to actually look at our key deliverables in the area. And I think in terms of the year, maybe one could summarize it in very broad outline to say that I think we've made some important advances, but there's some still key challenges that lie ahead, and we'll talk to those elements in our presentation going forward. So what I'd like to do is hand over to my fellow delegates here. Firstly, we'll get Marius, who's our finance manager, and he'll actually talk to the findings and the financials. The findings, the AG's findings, and the financial issues, the key financials, the issues that pertain to the annual financial statement. Secondly, Sandra Dunn, our CEO, will talk to the key issues in CETA and actually unpack some of those key issues for the committee. And following that, we'll have Dean Goma, our counselor, dealing with the key challenges that we still face going forward. And then we'll conclude with our CEO looking at the highlights and the way forward into the new year. Let me hand over to Mari.
I know that we have two sitters presenting and we are going up to, in fact, we have three presentations. Maybe it may help to guide them so that they know how much time they have. They must have any questions that they have up to 12 pages, each one of them. I don't know if you have done that.
No, I think it's fine. I've seen the presentation. It doesn't look that long. Should I feel that you are stretching in particular? But I think, and I said as I started the meeting, that we are also still expecting the CTO pay higher efficiency to them. So we'll be able to come. Now, isn't that what we're not going to run up in the study? We'll manage it. And that a different tendency is not that way.
But let's try and we'll try and make the time to get the slide on the board. Thank you. Just going to start by talking to the report of the Auditor General. It's very proud of the fact that it has again received an unqualified report from the Auditor General and has had a history of 9 years or 10 years now of unqualified reports. There were modifications to the report which I would like to The first one was the regular expenditure that was noted in the appointment of our regional advisors, which was really of a technical nature. We appointed those regional advisors in a recruitment process that the appropriate supply chain policy would have required us to go out on open tender. We have taken that to be regularized, and we've taken that feedback and will follow the appropriate supply chain procedures in this regard. We've been finding was relating to the increased emphasis of the Auditor General, which I believe is really good, on the reporting on our performance, on our performance information. Although it's not impacting the report yet, it is mentioned in the report that we have some ways to go in improving our documentation management, and it's a big challenge for us. We have taken some strides in that regard. We've also brought in some new blood in the project space, which we believe will be able to overcome this challenge in time for when the Auditor General is going to express an opinion on that. In terms of non-adherence to legislation, there was a challenge for us in finalising the appointment of our internal auditors, which means that for about 7 months of the year, there wasn't an effective internal audit function in place. We have appointed and finalised the appointments already before the finalisation of the year in November, December. So our internal audit function is in place and we need to keep us in check and keep us on it. So that is going to be a great help. On the next slide, in terms of our budget analysis, while we went into the year quite conservatively and not knowing what the industry was going to do in terms of the levy perspective, given all the global crisis and the challenges that we had, our levies ended up quite strong, 8% ahead, which means that the industry remained resilient and that we received good levy growth. We did closely manage our spending and we saved quite a substantial amount on our administration expenditure budget of 2.4 million. That 2.4 million then becomes available to spend on skill priorities in the sector. So we're not spending to the maximum in our admin budget. We really try and get by with the minimum and make the maximum amount of money available for skill priorities. In total, we allocated 107 million rand to discretionary projects in that year, and we're also very proud of the fact that we are redistributing 91% of our mandatory grants. The things has been rising steadily over the last 5 years through the initiatives of the skills planning division within the CETA, from about 86%. And that's really, we also have fantastic participation of our small and medium companies in that initiative. I think that concludes our presentation on the financial sector.
And the purpose of the project is to enable employees to complete the diploma schools, both the South African African Medical Association, to develop more black activity. Over the 6 to 10 years, and reciting the students in our annual report, because what is the annual report, we actually reflected back on the last 10 years. There are 54,000 that have successfully achieved learning support systems and literacy and job programs in the years.
Secondly, if you look at the issue of adult education training, we have decided that we need to change that and look at adult learning, because for us, it is to learn the ability to be tested for black programs, because as we know that today, if you're not tested, you cannot talk to business, you cannot talk to the world. So we are looking at it at the end where we say we need to be able to give access to the young people that are living in the sector. They also need to be able to be technologically competent so that they are able to conduct business in a modern way. And when it comes to the employment of unemployed youth, we have taken an angle that firstly we need to make them suitable for employment, and desirable for employment first, in that part of the development should not just be technical requirements, but it has to go with the element of breaking paradigm of lack of exposure to business. It has to go hand in hand with entrepreneurial development, so that once they've got the qualification, they also understand the discipline that goes in business and how you conduct yourself in a business environment, so that they are able to therefore have the competitive edge when they come into the sector. Now, we also look at the traditional requirements that's laid out by the FSC, and we are trying to map those out so that they are able to also cater for youth in rural areas as well, because we know that in the entry-level market, for instance, through the economic crisis, companies, insurance companies, do tend to that entry-level market has played a significant role in stabilizing their businesses. Now, we are saying 60% of entry-level market business come from rural areas. Now, therefore, it will be ideal that using FTTs, because every small town is supported by FTTs, and every rural area is supported by small towns. So, therefore, it becomes desirable for us as local operating in small towns to set up our own offices in this small town, so that we are able, therefore, to afford youth from rural areas the opportunity to get a qualification at the same time. Yes, simply with web-based experience, etc.
So the increase of focus going forward is really going to be looking at the we've all been looking at things in terms of the community of students. We have an A for retail space and sort of accelerate the management and use of programs to sort of start that kind of task with the community. We'll be focusing on skills. We will definitely be raising emphasis on operational efficiency and flexibility and delivery in all our scenarios, provinces, and rural and remote areas as indicators. The way forward is we obviously are still waiting after the announcement by the Minister in terms of together with the people who are using. We'll be focusing on our five areas of youth development, small and micro enterprise development, research and benchmarking, careful fiscal skills, and social development. Our program is kind of proposal submitted to Council for Sugar Women Schools at the Women's Office Sector and the National Skills Institute in terms of farmers. For the next 3 years, in our vision, we will have four broad deliverables to actually cover everything else that we've spoken about. Here we want to deliver on our mission. We also want to make it easier, as they say, to work with communities that have to and fully serve the industry better. We feel in agriculture, we are working as an agriculture sector, and becoming the sixth partner.
Thank you very much, Dr. Council for that's the presentation and the highlights, or the summary of what has come through. And we also enhance the members to engage with the presentation and the report we've got. One thing that I just want to clarify with my time to you, just because on the task that was done by the council member or the government, we spoke about the issues that we're currently developing, just focused on the I'm quite interested in this. But our last interaction with the teacher, there was an issue that the XTC in that country, not really think that the transformational agenda of Pastor was supposed to be ahead. So I just want to get a sense on that. Is that part covered on the representation as the country is? Maybe even as well to touch on some of the questions, even when I'm supposed to reply. But taking a sense of this part of the human transformational action that's been discussed.
Yes, indeed. As practice in progress, we have looked at the mandate of the speaker. And I think it is clearly the mandate. But as well, we took a line, you know, for this industry created itself. Before regulation, the industry invested heavily in human development. We were part of the process. And therefore, with the introduction of CITES and the introduction of regulation, and also various other, like the mutualization processes, for instance, you know, companies took their eyes off human development and focused more on shoulder rather than other issues. And so the area of skills development still retains a fight with people that are in the sector, in that insurance companies and brokers. And of course, we then need to partner with Insurance as custodian of case resources to say, as people that are at the operational level, at the call base, these are the challenges, these are the realities. And also similarly looking at the fact that insurance sector is a regulated environment. Yeah, much as we would say we would like to be as inclusive as possible in terms of you, at the same time we have to ensure that whoever comes in meets the requirements of the regulation. So for us it's then help the institution with the research in terms of what are the entry barriers, in which sectors, and what is possible in terms of ensuring that one, young people that have gone through matric, which is a minimum requirement. What are the requirements for them to be desirable for employment number one? Because you find a situation where, as an employer, you know, my environment is protected. I ensure that people who come into my environment have made a specific request so that they feel comfortable and welcome when they do have a come into my space. So if you really help the people that they are, firstly, we need to be able to, aside of the qualifications as required by the person, the digital requirement, we need to be able as well to, especially in the case who, I mean, when I started my business, I had no reference point. I had to stumble and fall because there's nobody within my family who has run a business. I've got no uncle or aunt who has run a business. So that therefore we need to create an environment where we first are able to allow these young people that they get first business etiquette, they understand what a business environment is, entrepreneurship, of course, coupled with entry level requirements. So we are saying that we are now building a formalized program to ensure that the two are able to talk to each other. And similarly as well, the desire is to also do rural development. Now we are saying currently infrastructure is there at a very cost effective rate. I mean, if you use FTTs better, using services for training providers, for instance, who also are driven by shareholder base, you know, we can do a hell of a lot more in ensuring that we're able to get some back that we can all you getting able to meet the required as a basic
amount.
Just to add to that, Madam Chair, clearly, you know, I mean, just to refer back to your question, I mean, transformation will be part of our agenda as well. Jay has spoken to the broker space and the unemployed youth space. But more than that, I think a key focus in this year and going forward is going to be to optimize the learnerships. We spend a lot of money on learnerships, so it's about upping the success on learnerships, and importantly, to get learners to actually be employed. I think those are the two key points we're looking at, and how do we optimize it? That's the other point in terms of transformation and getting black people into the industry. Just two other areas. Especially in our industry, you know, there are some defined scarce and critical skills, and upskilling people that were previously disadvantaged is a critical focus. And Sandra has spoken to you about the actuary space, because there's a whole lot of other targeted programs to look at. How do we up the numbers in those defined scarce skill areas? And the other focus area that was already mentioned, which I won't get into too much detail, is about leadership and management development. So clearly, if you look at employment equity, it's an area of concern to us. And if you look at the big companies or the small companies, we need to look at that. And it's a question of how do we get people, the previously disadvantaged people, to move into those positions, whether it's professionals, whether it's leaders, whether it's team leaders, middle management, senior management.
Let me just take hands from members. Take hands from members. I'll start with Honorable Gogo, Honorable Zima, Honorable Nelson, Honorable Makuvela, Honorable Banda Jason, Honorable Makati wanted to take a minute to the last one. In that order, Honorable Members.
I'm also very just like you. That's the last time. These people came to us and said they have nothing to do with transformation. It was a huge shock for us. So we are glad that we are getting what we are getting now.
In your introduction, talking about the supporting the country's transformation, and I'm glad that you are the person that you told us. I'm looking at well, number one, the issue of partnership in producing Black Australia. Can you say a bit more about it? What numbers are we talking about? What is the thing here? But also in their report, Chairperson, they are saying that 54,121 learners successfully achieved learnership, but they are reporting only a 5-year period. Because they are saying from year 6 to year 10. I want to understand why, because you are this an annual report. What are the numbers for this year that you are talking about? But also, I see numbers here, and there is a broad statement that says they have achieved most of their NSDS targets. I see their report is not, they are not reporting against targets. If I, for example, under learnership with the NQF level, you know, 94 disabled, and the numbers are different. But what were the targets? It doesn't give me that kind of idea. But also the other thing, reaching out to provinces, I want to understand how many provincial offices do they have, talking about reaching out to rural areas. Thank you.
I think on that one, the NCP can reach provinces that are in there. How many provinces and which are these provinces? Okay, honorable Dean.
Thank you very much. My name is Chairperson, and I think I'm a little bit surprised by the report, though we welcome it. Just to say, when you look at this report, for me, it is not clear, it's not the same to end. I think we wish to see it in the region. Like, really, it's quite difficult for us to say what is better than done. Yes, the outcome is better, say, but the value, I think they've summarized too much. We can't tell you, it can't be detailed as to say this the amount of money that they need, what for exactly, and what is it. And most of the time, we see the projections, we see the future plans, yes, this is what is going to be done. But exactly, you can say, from the financial area that you are coming from, what is it that has been done? For me, it's quite difficult to see what can you say this sector has done. If ever they can clarify that for us, I think it can be clear what it is. We know exactly what has been done. And I'm also interested in the Africa plan, the introduction of the pilot disability program aimed at raising the profile of the veteran, where they say they are fully targeting moving the intellectually challenged people. If ever they can expand for me as to how to be in this age taking those intellectually disadvantaged persons, what is the program all about that?
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Okay. I think everybody's raised our concern the last time when people made a presentation to us. Everyone that qualified before the 40-40 is fine. Everything was good on paper. But I think the bottom line is, what is the intention of people? People still around people. Doing transformation within the industry. If you ask people how much transformation have you done, something that you think you were quite concerned about was your discretionary grant. The grant you need to decide what you were going to do with. We find that this also leads into your well established organizations and companies. Something which you could decide about how you want to do it. The issue of rural development, existing issues within the rural community came up really strongly. It's been raised here as well. I think for us, it can't have an unqualified report. But we would want to know how many students have you put to university, have you qualified, have you put out there into the industry, and as gentlemen officers need to. You've got to take the ground for those students. You can't just touch someone and put them in. So for us, we would like to know, it's good to have this unqualified support, but what difference have you made in the time? 10 years down the line, 10 years later, how many people have you empowered? How many people have you skilled? How many people have you put on to? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Honourable Minister.
The comments may not be over and out, not fair to the report itself. Makes it difficult to understand and see what the meaning of the camp in future by the manner in which it's structured. In as much as it's an annual report, my intent should be able to tell where are we from and why are we where we are in terms of this report and where are we going in the Canada. The case about it, that's another way we are able to follow. But I have, if you open up your rent in the 89 annual report, you must be able to tell where we are, where we are from. What are the benchmarks from? If today we continue with hundreds of whatever number, why do we justify that's a problem? How do I know where we're moving? Because I think 2,000 men are talking. The figures, if I mention there, that last number, where we exposed the things in white people. And was it the fast or that based on the accountability for finances, and for funders, and so it makes it very, very difficult to undertake to know. And it's more general as well. It has been carefully crafted as if we are in a legal magic. So that we are so safe, nobody can pin you down to anything. So almost like wanting to run away with money. For instance, you say you have to most of the statement here that things that are using most of this country. And most of them tell us anything. It isn't better to talk percentage, but you are 69% on the city government of that number. You know, we can try to figure out what are happening. I think it's very most brief on that. At the end of the day, we are not able to see your actual performance. So saying yes, quantitative is very bad. You know, I think that that's going to be a statement. It's a claim that they've got a proven track record in development on their core mandate. It's a smart statement that makes you look so good that the army was needed to do in terms of that core mandate. But in terms of your vision, you're not talking to the transformation that is expected of you. A month back or two, if you were claiming not to be aware of it, and if you had your program and your code, which is soon be over the year, because you can't have a program record, check your code, that talks to 2 months, 3 months, it means it's over the year. To me, there is contradiction in time. Because when I ask Matthew, we know what you're capable of, you told us yourself, that today you want to pretend like we never met and you want to tell us of the program track record, which does not fit to some of our expectations, which in some are a major issue that we expected of you. And then that's and it's not a major point that much. Our understanding is that the next broadcast for disadvantage the patients and the structure did not necessarily have any access to the resources in the enough.
or even third systems within the map. But for us, the environment remains as hard as it was before, even before we can talk a new era, a new distance. Either by way of accessing the industry or growing within the industry to becoming something else. It's one thing to want people to experience and from feeling them, but not feeling them for them to remain where they are or where they need to be. There are nothing to do that with feeling the people in order for them to be able to achieve their goals, to move within the industry and grow. And if you were to help us with the point here, I want them to elaborate on. To what extent is the system able to facilitate ammonia formation between big beings and small ones? Are we seeing a closer cooperation and assist of those that were struggling in the past? To the extent that tomorrow they can equally compete within the industry, and we don't have a big brother scenario forever within the system. Because that is to continue like that. We'll come here next year and 10 years to come, we'll still put a situation where your brother Goliath would be free what is happening in the industry. If they think he's going the rule or the law, if they think this industry will go according to what I want, then we will come to from that Korea in that regard. Unless we are able to make sure that everybody else is able to grow. Yes, we are due to define regulations, whatever that is. But those regulations should not be by the casting stones that God given. If regulations defined here on earth, each one of us can help redefine them to suit our needs. So that we are able to live within those regulations. It doesn't help to develop regulations which will come back to be played for. And this is not a good regulation. I can't move, I can't do anything that are regulations, and therefore I'm guidelines. It can't be like that. I understand the regulations to help ensure that the environment is professional. We are able to do things that are expected of each one of you as we enter that industry or that industry. But there should be some specificity. People must not be starting in that kind of environment. They shouldn't be hiding because they can't breathe. You know? So there shouldn't be way of movement. Now, I accept that for now, you might not have done much since you were not even aware that some of these transformational issues should be high on your agenda, but I'm arguing that it can then be a set record that should be appreciated. And we must sit here and somewhat tell you a little bit of time because there's no moves and so on and so forth. I mean, it's fine. I don't think that it's a good thing. Yeah. The other issue which I will expect elaboration on is on the capacity of the college center. We have talked before and now about the MOU that we have entered into, which is supposed to be appreciated. Equal, you did say that they don't seem to have capacity to implement the program as you would expect of them within the context of the MOU. Now, perhaps you should share with us also how far are you, what are the plans to take that forward? Because it's one thing to say we've structured some agreements, we think we'll be able to do some work with them. But there are no positions when is that starting, what are the issues within their own capacity? What if there are capacity constraints within the next 2-3 years or even 5? Will not have been able to show that test. But then also remains the meaning there. Mm-hmm. So, just to say with us, so that we are compatible that his colleagues, as identified, are in the position
the NIAP is to take up this conference and the last point probably will be around the RPS. I think you're not hearing this for the first time. You know about it. So we want people to talk concretely. First of all, exactly what it is, but we think the fact is happening. The combination of Canada and North. It has been there, and we think there is actually something that has not been people who were there and needed proper activity. But maybe this is not a point of reference when you think you stumble, you fall, you fail, and all. But to some degree, by now you understand enough. Because you learned that practice and not necessarily of the Italian and all. So you have got what it is to survive in the thing that you learn. And then how do you appeal to that man at a pace that is reasonable, that is acceptable? And you want to say, want to achieve this people and so on and so on and you are paid. But you do that at your own later time. So with 10 years to come, you may see the take now when you are 15, you take food and so on and so on. But we want that to move at a faster rate. It wouldn't be a secret that we are a bit careful, we are a bit impatient with a slow movement. That does not recognize that we deal with people. We deal with people who want to accept the particular thing, whose life would depend on this thing. And we don't want them to die before they accept what is good to them. You know, we must acknowledge that they live for a long time under very suppressive conditions. Now, the environment decides that they can be able to live or meet their dignified lifestyle. And we must make sure that that is facilitated at a faster rate and not just, cause the wind to turn very soon because we are sitting comfortable where we are. Because I think none of you yet is suffering from any kind of thing. You may be fine. And there are little people around the world, but they are only not happening. And I think let us.
Thank you, Honourable Doctor. Honourable Calendar, first reason.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have a few questions, and I will keep them short. One of the problems Municipas experience is a very high staff turnover. May I ask, in answering that, whoever is going to answer this question, that representatives of the CETA will just inform us for how long they have been in their current positions. Second question, I see that in terms of its reporting against targets, that sometimes there's quite a big gap between what has been targeted and what has been achieved. Can you please explain, is the problem with the setting of targets, or is the problem on the operational side in attaining those targets? And thirdly, I believe that the ultimate qualification is that of a full, or the attainment of a full qualification is the ultimate goal of the CETA. Now, am I correct when I see here 180 completed learnerships, that those were only 180 certificates issued for full qualifications, or were there some more that are not reported in that way in your report? Because, you know, you're running a more than 200 million rand organization and only 180 learnerships, which are at more than, maybe a bit cynical, more than a million rand per learnership. And then lastly, what support do you give for training of learners in related industries? The insurance sector makes use a lot of marketing skills, call centers, secretarial positions, etc. Do you also undertake learnerships? Do you also undertake training in those related fields? Or do you give support to training in those fields? And if so, what support are you giving? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Commander.
Another benefit, advertise the goal, become part of it,
come back to our place, see, there's a set limit, it's like Lenati copy. And the industry and the speakers have not been able to respond to that, which is quite a challenge. Are you able to trace your Lenati? After completion of your Lenati, the ones that you respond based on the question, members have asked, the target and the number of your subscribers. But are you having a mechanism of tracing them where they are and what are they doing? Are they able to get in and out into another specific area during Lenati, or are they able to, the industry, they are able to absorb them? So these are some of the questions that I want us to ask. But I think I also felt that the report was quite summarized. The actual report. That was my feeling when I went to that it's actually summarized. I don't know whether it's a deficiency that you are coming from a portfolio committee of lead and now you are coming to the institution. But I just feel that there was still a lot of people that could come out. And then before signing to become part of the document, that anyone should be able to detect, anyone should be able to get a sense of what is happening in that particular sector, in that particular sector, in terms of the programs in the sector, and she is not sufficient enough to be able to contact to become the talent. Not everybody has an opportunity to and ask the questions that we ask. My understanding is that anyone should be able to read the report, get through it, and understand and get the answers that we want. But the issue that speakers are dealing with, there's a lot of perception out there, and it's appalling to risk yourself as speakers. And one of the mechanisms of risking yourself is through this annual report, where you are saying your assessment and what you are doing. Remember, I'm not sure that other people know that you're following yourself, not something to present. So don't blame me when I start making a promise. Or they're following the promises and the opportunity of not even administered. But I'm just saying that there's a public perception out there about the speaker, a lot sometimes unjustifiable, unfair. But I'm saying that if teachers themselves must rescue themselves and part of the mechanism that you can do that is through this document. But if you can't rescue yourself through this document, I don't know what another method of your own teaching. Take it on the public domain. So there's opinions about teachers. Hence, there's calls left, right, and center about closing down of teachers, the calls that teachers have a function, and it's those mechanisms that you have that should be able to say to the public. The perception that you have is not true. This is what we are doing. If you summarize to this extent, that even myself, sitting as a member of parliament, I'm becoming uncomfortable with the problem. But I just want to give over to the teacher to respond to a number of issues that have been raised, starting with the chairperson, and then the chair will guide us in terms of how they respond to that question. Thank you.
Performance in terms of next of your business strategy. What part of
gap between our targets and what we've achieved. And if you look at the current annual report that's under discussion, and I think in particular if you look at indicator 2.8, you'll notice that we have said we would support 4,372 workers in the sector. And that the actual achievement is 27,547. So now that's a really big gap. How one explains that gap is the workers that have been supported have not only been supported by the inclusive fund. Employers are also delivering support. And there are, and this information gets uploaded into our learner register database. And I think our challenge and what we've been discussing at the center is whether or not we should actually report from it. Because if it can take credit for it as the increase with the public funds that are at our disposal to develop skills in our sector. And going forward, we've agreed that we will report on it, but maybe not against what we measure. And so, and I think this is the way we've been doing it for the past however many years, but that's just, you know, if we need to separate what we've achieved as opposed to what the sector's contribution. In terms of the full qualifications and the 180 learners, that pertains to learners that are in employment. So I was speaking about employment that go through learnership. And I'm not sure that learnership for, I have some advice on this one, learnership for people in employment is more clearly the best vehicle. Because if you look at 4.1, which deals with unemployed people in things, the number of people successfully completing qualifications then is 517. That would be unemployed youth entering the market, coming through on a learnership, completing it and being certified. There were questions raised about the partnerships in terms of developing within the sector. And we have the numbers, and I'll ask the learning manager to respond to that one. Thank you.
Responding to the question of the activity that we are developing, we are in partnership with the particular exam development program that has placed 64 like activities and 3 members of the UC, first and UCT. And they go from first year right up to the fourth year. The challenge in the first year, they have indicated over the years that they were running the program at a higher dropout of students within those years. What the UC has decided to do to support them going forward is a role within the FADCT, FAADC itself, to mentor the learners that are doing this day in particular, to ensure that they. Because the challenges in first year are not only related to the course. They are also related to some other social issues that they put traumatized in the university life and so on. But the program is aimed at telling these learners right from first year to fourth year. With regards to the learnerships that are happening, completing the learnership, the challenge that we have and that we are dealing with at the moment is having employment for these learners. With the economy how it is experienced in the country, not only in South Africa. 42% only of these learners were given employment last year. Regarding tracing these learners that have done the genetics over the last 3 years, for instance, that we have done, we found out that most of them are employed immediately after the genetics complete, but then they leave for other employment. Most of them, though, still remain in the sector, in different organizations than where they started after the genetics, but still in the sector. An interesting observation was that some of them, I'd say about 2% of them, went to places like that. They went to South African colleges. They were given employment there. Which was interesting for me and pointing to the fact that after a learnership, and especially the support, and I'm wondering now of the support that you are giving these learners, the support that you are giving after completion of the learnership is taking on an intensive program in which the learners are made ready for employment, in that during the intensive program, the learners acquire skills, work-based skills, not only related to the qualification, but also related to the work-based experience that they need in the sector. One honorable member asked a question about the IT and the HR qualifications that are there in support services in the insurance sector. We do offer learnerships and incentives in that regard, where the learners receive a professional qualification through the MOUs that we have with our system. And these are in high demand, especially the HR and the IT qualifications. The question of intellectual disabled learners, this is a pilot program that we have done with three companies in the insurance sector. How it works is that there is a company that is recruiting these learners that will go into the workplaces and sensitize the employers there that are already there towards the challenges and the type of people that the intellectually disabled learners are. And they look at the jobs that are kind of repetitive and carve jobs for the intellectually disabled learners that they would be doing in the workplace for the period of while they are employed there. So far, as a pilot, we have six learners in three different companies that are doing jobs that would be the observation there was that most of the time, intellectually disabled are of the disabled people, they are the most marginalized. They do not get any employment. That is why we have started looking at also including the intellectually disabled learners. For 2010, the learners that are happening in 2010, we've got 741 learners in three provinces only at this time. We've got KZN, we've got Gauteng, we've got the Western Cape. The challenge that they are having with the provincial running learners in other provinces is, so far, the training providers that we have offering the learners in the insurance sector, most of them are small training providers. They do not have national presence. And INCITA has looked at that challenge and even strongly thereafter, seeing the importance of growth in FEC colleges. To answer the honorable member on what we are doing with FEC colleges capacitation, the INCITA Council has already now approved a project where we are capacitating the FEC colleges. And this is what we are doing. We are helping them towards getting their accreditation to offer the INCITA specific qualifications. In that project also, we help them with the delivery of training materials, because that's what they have identified as a challenge to them, especially because the development of training materials is expensive. That is what INCITA is doing in that regard. And we also are capacity building their assessors and moderators. We are training their assessors and moderators. And in
smaller service providers in our state, and most of them have been working in the sector. They've got the expertise of what needs to be trained on. They have been financial advisors and brokers before. What we are doing in that regard is when the SEC colleges are there with the assessors and moderators, they partner with the smaller training providers to help them with assessment. Thereafter, the plan is that by the time the contract ends with the smaller training provider partnership, their assessors and moderators will be able at that time to run on their own without the smaller training provider. That gives comfort to the smaller training providers in that they are not being cut out of the process. They have been there all along, but also the capacity is building the smaller and the public economy. This for us will address the problem of the challenge of national presence, of reaching the rural and other provinces that have not been existing, where there are no training providers that can offer training. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I've answered all that I can.
Honourable Chairperson, just to position as well our position as whilst we are in the council, I must say that we also represent the federal government. I really will try not to be fashionable and say the question is raised by Honorable Mr. Makube really are part of our document as a credit code, because we are also customers of it. And that document comes from what we experienced as practitioners, as brokers. And also seeing the possibilities that are there in terms of this industry. How this industry can be available to empower and develop young black persons and infuse them into the industry. That is why I would safely say if this document that we feel, which we are working on with the agency right now, if really we do not see a commitment towards ensuring that we are able to address all the issues. Basically all the issues that Honorable Mr. Makubela articulated are in our document. And if those are not addressed effectively by INCISA, I can assure you now we will not be here in next year sitting in council. But I really do see since our incorporation into the council and also with the new CEO in place, we are beginning to see a situation where the CISA now understands that it is not just one size fits all. I think that's where the CISA started, where the approach was one size fits all, whereas CISA represents different sectors with unique characteristics, and therefore they need to be a unique strategy as per the sector that the CISA represents. If I could make an example, for instance, like I did say that the insurance sector is a very highly regulated environment. And we also support, as black business, we support regulation. If I could make an example again, I mean, my mother collects a pension from Devon Transport Management Board, where my father went. And I don't have to explain maybe that organization or that corporation is no longer in existence because it was sort of privatized. And it was looted to an extent that the whole bus system in Devon collapsed. But because of regulation, my mother is still able to collect the pension today because it's protected by the Pension Act. So, what we support that, we also understand that it is again the mandate of government to continue to protect South African citizens to ensure that the products that you sell are able to indeed serve them in time of need. Hence, therefore, we say that the advent of the five regulations is welcome, because it has presented opportunity as well for us to present the insurance sector as a credible, profitable, and sustainable industry or career for our young people. Hence, we are saying, therefore, the issue of skills development will always be with professionals in that sector. And there is no way, again, where the theater can be able to do skills development. They don't have the wherewithal. They are discriminating state resources and to do the necessary bureaucratic process. So that, therefore, the key stakeholders of the theater is the industry they represent. Now, I think we did see in the beginning where CITAS really worked a lot more in conjunction with training providers. Let us engage in that. And I think that issue has now been identified, and there is now a huge effort in ensuring that the industry brokers and insurance companies are now the real key stakeholder of this. And given the processes that are underway right now, I am confident that we are indeed going to be able to deliver on issues as raised by Honorable Mr. Makube. But I can safely say again, we also represent the pressure group here. If those things do not happen, if the engagement is not honest, then you will not see us here.
Madam Chair, if I could come in before I hand over to Sandra, maybe to deal with other issues. I just want to cover issues, you know, from my perspective, especially. I think the one thing that needs to be clarified is the comment made by a few of the honourable members that the report was too short and that it didn't cover enough detail. I think on that one, maybe it was a judgment call on our side. It wasn't actually meant to hide anything. In fact, I think if I recall, many years ago, I was told that a detailed report was done, and actually it was suggested that we cut down. All right, so I can assure you that, you know, from our perspective, that there's nothing sinister in slimming down the report. I think it's a question of just being efficient in terms of covering the key points, but obviously we'll take the comments that came across in terms of the presentation into the future. The next question that I'd like to deal with is the question of outsourced services and consultants and so on. All right? And clearly, you know, it's a key issue and a hot button, I think, in many theaters and London generally. But I think, you know, from our perspective, from INSEADA, decisions were made many years ago, well before I think a lot of us were around on the Council on Management, to outsource certain services. And I think the thinking, my sense would have been, is that probably in terms of shortage of skills, and probably because they were non-core in some ways, that it was outsourced. So our internal audit is outsourced. It was outsourced to Ingomani and company for many years. We did change the supplier this year to OMA, as I understand it. The other element that we need to talk about is project management. For many years, it was outsourced to BWC. If I recall, probably most of the last 10 years projects were done by BWC. Council took a decision, in fact, last year, to actually bring that service in-house. All right? We thought that it's appropriate that we actually manage projects in-house and have a very clear handle on projects in terms of initiating projects, starting projects, closing up projects, and we've managed to actually create a project department, and I think that is actually bearing fruit. I think, you know, we've made that assessment, and I think it's bearing fruit. In terms of the finance and IT, like for the past, I don't know, I think I'm spent for next probably 7-8 years, is being done by the law. So, like many other teachers, I understand it, that's the current situation. But but as I said, the project is, has been brought in up. I'll leave it there. It's time for you to tell us.
Okay, but just on that one, on the consultation and all that, I think with a new government coming in, there was a pronouncement that was taken, cutting down on consultants, that's not even on the establishment of departments. And I think this is something that we'll have to take up with the minister. Even on the establishment of the departments, there was a specific instruction from the president not to use consultants. And when the president makes a pronouncement, he makes it on behalf of all of us. And I hope that in the future all of us will take that as a statement and start fixing that. I just thought I should highlight that, but I think it's something that as a committee we'll have to take up with the minister. Just that issue of consultants specifically. Because if government pronounces to say we have a problem with the resources, let's tighten our affairs and try and find an efficient way of doing things. Let's utilize less, unless it can prove a case that utilizing your consultants you are able to save money than having an in-house. But it's not sustainable because they're not building capacity within yourself and they don't know how within the institution. But I just thought I should reflect on that one. And it's something that I think as a committee we're going to have to monitor. If it's done across all teachers, let's monitor if this is the trend and take it up with the minister. And the efficiency, we are seeing on the efficiency of the sport, but it has to have teachers. It has to have, because you are accounting for this business. So you can't not have the accounting issue on an accounting business. We are doing the efficiency. It's not about how big or how small. It's about the
sorry, Chief President, may I just ask? I had that question regarding the term in office.
She's still responding to some. I just thought I wanted to close on those two issues. She's still responding to some of the questions that are not in the WSPA, but I'll remind her if there are areas that she has not responded to. Over to you. There are several questions.
Yes.
That you have high staff turnover, and you work at top departments, and I think the chair person sort of tried to highlight. You wanted to understand as the staff that is sitting here, how long have you been here? As an indicative measure, I think, to understand where you are in terms of the staff turnover. The ones that you are sitting with is the staff, yes, that's why. There's an issue of RPL that has not been responded to. The question of RPL. WFP and APR not responded to. There was an issue on some of the issues. Where are you in provinces and which one? Because I think that you have not responded to that one. There wasn't a specific answer on the why ICT has in accounting for the money. What is your actual amount for this financial year that we have? That was the one. I think I'm very vulnerable to COVID, that is still pending. And then the other one was responded to the discretionary grant that went into more communication. I think it has covered the issue of I'm hoping that it's covered, honourable, but the issue of transformation that was required to even what it has presented the document that we must look at, and nothing has come to that one as maybe way forward. And then the issue of audit. I think those are the ones that are not yet covered, mainly. And the issue of the financial part has not been reported. just quickly respond to this one so that we are able to close on this?
Many days
we are trying to look at how accessible you are to people. In other words, somebody in Van, the region of Limpopo, if this person wants to visit your office, where does this person go? Does this person have to travel to Johannesburg? Somebody from Bizani in the Eastern Cape, somebody from Jozini in KwaZulu-Natal, for example. We are looking at how accessible you are. Because at times, what we have seen, this person is supposed to be a provincial advisor for the Northwest, but the person sits in Johannesburg. We're looking at the issue of access. How easy or how difficult is it? Do you have a provincial presence where, instead of traveling to Johannesburg, somebody can come and make inquiries on your visitor in the various provinces? This was, we're not talking about the project that you are running in provinces, but physical presence, where you can be found.
Thanks, Honorable. There was some hints on this matter before I go with Honorable Mushwana Hete and then Honorable Makubel and Honorable Nelson. Thank you. Actually, I think I'm happy for that. What I wanted to take where they can be found. It's one thing to listen to them and have their report. With the report, I was looking for them. The report says, promising things. But we need to know exactly. Because still in this country is more than we can't explain it enough. But we need the skills for the municipality to deliver. We need the skills for all the other places to make sure that they continue. We need even here, we need skills. So that if you we know that skills can be applied to you and we do not have the idea what we can be telling you. If you remember what happened when this particular fourth government came into power, it said together we can do more. There is no way senior here in Parliament can deal with skills. We depend on you wholeheartedly. So yeah, you need to definitely be somewhere we can do skills. So that's why we if you do something with the we appreciate and we'll make sure like we mandate you sometimes. You know, that's my mandate and say, this is what we do not have to do right now. So my time is up, but I think we have to do that. Honorable Doctor, a minute. That could be.
Yes, that's what I mean. That could be. You are appointed with another person, which led to an irregular extension. And you really say you don't have office. Meaning you appointed other organizations to do something for you, but you can't claim access to that office. And that is elaborate more, other than just physical presence to think you are aware of. But what is the auditing process itself? You should have done this, you should have followed whatever. It means you are appointing someone who is now young to a better and more equal. And then myself, you must assist you and so on. So the environment from which they work can be declared your thing. You can then divorce yourself from that after having appointed them. So for us, if you are going to go to some group and are there, and you say, no, but you don't have an office, we are really doing this thing, but we have a very much. So now the base, you come very much.
Thank you, Honorable Honorable Nelson.
Take us another thing that we can to go through. We bias the rural development. We bias the transformation. We've got our young people out there who are unemployed and they're looking at us and we owe them. Now it is unacceptable to have an office in Johannesburg City and we expect this or a regional office. And expect them to work in the Northwest. I'm from the Northwest. I know our vast that area. I know what the problems are and the unemployment rate amongst our young people in that province. The Northern Cape we border onto. There is unemployment, our people are suffering out there. And see, they're sitting with millions and millions, and not only your people, all people. And so we're going to come down like a ton of bricks on. On the city, because you are the people that have the money out there that can make the difference. So, Jefferson, right now, what is the situation? we have regional regional offices or regional advisors. What is the situation right now? And then check with them. I'm going to do another one, take another bus. I see what we pay for, what the teachers pay for external policies remuneration, and I see that the teacher is also paid in excess of 7 million on consultancy fees, as well as service providers. What are these consultancy fees for? Thank you.
I think they try to explain on the consultancy fees that they have outsourced the IT and finance. Second, they had outsourced the project management, now it's back in check now. They had outsourced, I think there are three areas that have been outsourced. Correct? The internal audit is outsourced. So they are the internal audit is not to be internal, it's outsourced. So it's three that have been outsourced. I think what we're going to do as a way forward, somehow we are going to have as a committee to go have a detailed analysis on this type of consultant. If the teacher has done an analysis in terms of what is spending was there on this outsourcing, this is what could be the saving or over expenditure if we were to bring this to the in-house. Because it's got to be sure that what is being spent here justifies why we are pushing with that amount of money being spent on outsourcing. So I think that it is more intention we must still do with this picture. And fortunately, because we are on the process of reconfiguration of systems. And just are some of the things that we must be clear of as this committee. Because there is no way that we are going to approve any changing of the report that we don't want to tell you so how it's going to go forward. But I just don't want us to finish our time because we still have another speaker that we must deal with. I want them to respond to the remaining questions. But I think the sense you get in terms of provincial availability and accessibility. Imagine a young person who's teaching in Springbok in North Springbok. How many miles from Springbok to Gauteng, Johannesburg, where I come from? And if that person, young person, is unemployed, how does that young person get to another state? That mode of transport and how much that young person needs to arrive in Johannesburg to be able to access information, be able to access the services of the city. So I'm glad the teaching council members here. These are questions that we must be able to respond to. These are transformational issues that we must be able to respond to. And it's very sad that we are starting to answer these questions. Even on the brink of us being reviewed as a city. Where there's a fixation that we have traveled so far, at least there must be some type of counter to say we have made this impact and at least nothing coming. But just how quickly, I don't want to even take time, you can see the passion that we see in this room for the members of the community when it comes to issues of this. And we understand the importance why the president has to step out and bring the skills to the higher education so that they focus and drill down to the details and understand what they need. Because we must be able to do that. Just allow you quickly to respond, and then I was hoping to finish the session at half past. So we are left almost about 5 minutes to go on this one. And let me give them to respond to the outstanding issues, and then we'll take it from there.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to respond to the question on irregular expenditure and also add to what the Honourable Member just said. The intention was certainly not for us to hide that there was irregular expenditure, and that's why we've mentioned it in our presentation. With respect, I must say that procurement in the public sector is extremely technical, and that's because of the technical nature that this was irregular, not because of a wasteful nature. It wasn't wasted money at all. The NCTA has followed has actually improved the way in which they appoint the regional advisors. Regional advisors are appointed, like the Honourable Member has said, essentially as staff, of experienced staff. The regional advisors that we were using have many years of experience in dealing with the challenges in representing the NCTA and taking the NCTA mandate to the people in the provinces. The regional advisors were appointed by way of a national advert in national media and by using recruiting agencies, as you would expect to recruit staff. However, the technical interpretation was that you should have issued a tender document because those individuals are represented to companies. Therefore, we believe that it's almost a technicality. We do not believe that it wasn't a fair and equitable process, but we are, I think the motto of the Peter is also that we go above compliance or over and above what is expected of us. That is the mission also of the Peter. If I can also talk to the question of turnover, I've been with the Peter for 6 years. If I can add to what the CEO has said on WSP, just to contextualize the 700 that you gave in terms of WSP, we receive 80% of our levies from our large companies. Depending on how you view that company, it's about 50 companies or groups of companies, it's 50. And we have all those, essentially in value, 100% of those companies accessing those funds. Our media companies, we have 160 media companies, and in value we have 80% of those participating. And then our small companies, which is then where the bulk of the rest of the rest of the applications come from, we have 1,200 small companies that represent about 10% to 12% of our levy. And we get applications for more than half of them, the majority of it. So that's why we're feeling we're quite proud of our participation in the sector. In value, 50% is the embedded. So it's actually the far the minority of people that get turned down. That we support our small companies through all our regional advisors, through the process. We have a simplified WSP process. We have a one-page WSP bullet to enable small companies to access these funds. And then also in terms of the discretionary grant funding, yes, it's correct that a lot of that money does go to our large employers. As I just said, that is where we receive 80% of our funding. But in terms of the transformation agenda, the big ticket projects, which are virtually skills programs and learnership, we require that the employers then spend that money or source. In terms of the transformation targets in the Skills Development Act, so 85% of the bursaries that is active are for black people, for example. So that's how we then manage that. So that's how we achieve the skills or the transformation agenda through skills development. And we use our large employers as one of the most effective ways in the spending.
On the issue of social representation, I will speak for the future and I will also speak against the industry. Indeed, if you look at our industry, there are two aspects. Having been a newly regulated environment, there was an aspect of saving the grandfather. In other words, the FSB came in and said, these are the standards that you have to meet by that particular day for you to remain in the industry. Which then meant those people who did not meet those requirements within the 6 weeks time were going to be debarred. And of course, the RTL model came in there and it really worked for supporting us as SMMB. And it was really well spread out because any broker sitting anywhere or any agent who worked for a broker sitting anywhere or any agent who worked even for corporate, they were able to access an opportunity to get facilitation, number one, in preparation for the examination, and number two, they were able to access examination really at no cost through the intervention of the legal system. But as well, like I did articulate that most of us black business, we are really in the entry-level market. And entry-level market, by and large, the biggest chunk of our business comes from rural areas and urban areas. So it is
in our business interest for us to be able to develop in peri-urban and rural areas. If I could make a case in point, we just opened an office in Zani, for instance. Now, Zani has got an FPT, which does not offer wealth management, which is a prerequisite for one to be brought into the sector. And now we've already projected this to you, that to say, Zani caters for a very big chunk of the local community. Now, if we have NPS level 5 or 4 in wealth management being offered by an FPT in Zani, then they create an opportunity for a child who comes from Giani, for instance, to be able to access studies and at the same time attend the required work-based experience requirements as well, because we've got offices, we've got agents who are willing to mentor, take these young people out to the field and mentor them so that they are able, therefore, to qualify as rounded. So it is, again, part of our strategy to work with the teacher in ensuring that we partner with them as business to enable them to be able to reach out to rural areas. But yes, indeed, it needs to be an initiative that comes from the center itself. But we are willing to work in partnership with them and participate.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to the next No, your question was not answered, Mr. Sanders. The staff that is here, how long have you been occupying your position? I think we have three or four. Is it possible? Who are not in council, but staff members?
I have been working for 5 years.
Working for the speaker in your current position?
In my current position, it's now 3 years. I started as a consultant in the field of development and then moved over to the NGO.
I've been in finance in this position for 6 years.
I've been on the council for 2 years. Now it's here from September.
Thank you, Chair. I've been shortly elected as deputy chair, but I've been a council member for 8 years.
I've been a council member for 1 year.
I've been in Speaker Kenya for
11 months. No, just to take this, you want to say something?
No, just it should be very brief, and it means a very brief answer. Well, the first thing is to retract, and I said that it's not important on their target. But for reasons that I don't understand, they put them as appendix. Now, when you come here, that's the main thing that you want to hear. The others were just critiqued, as far as you are concerned. When departments report, they report against their target. When CSAS report, they report against the NSDS target. It can be an appendix. That's your main point. But lastly, the issue of, there's something about FPT College. Which FPT College is, if you may just know.
What I would approach what you're asking differently, Honorable Foucault. What I would want us to do is to further engage with the speaker based on the current report on monitoring requests that will be submitted through our committee and the committee secretary, so that we are able to have a detailed report that we look at and further engage. The rest of it has been dealing with the FPT colleges and which ones are those, this kind, so that we are able to take in terms of the partnership with FPT colleges. The one that I spoke about is the report that the Best Local Forum is developing. We want to engage with that. As soon as it's ready, indicate to us, we just want to engage other communities to include the report. So that we, because I think it's part also of our responsibility to make sure that we remain in the first and we don't see us. The other one is what I would think is that is quite important, the actual issue. If you can be give us an indication how much you spent on the RPF and what impact and what has been the work that you've done in that specific report and that. The last report is what? Analysis of the impact that has been done by the original advisor. Where they went, we spent in that time, we say the housing one was focused on housing, the first and not renting. This is the impact that is being able to raise for money now. We are looking for that. If we can get into the report, send it to our committee secretary, and then we appreciate it, and then we take it from the report that we are in this, look at the report, and based on the report that is provided us with analysis of the economy, with the sufficient information we have, it's enough to guarantee us in terms of what that is talking about for the product that is in effect, which we have to make the owner have issues. But just to take this opportunity, thank me for being part of this, in taking it up, presenting the report. Really appreciate because we have the interaction as it has in making sure that all of us are able to find the role that we are able to play for meeting our crisis. And we really appreciate the teaching with us and the information on this report. And really appreciate the members and you, all the press, we interact continuously. Members, I'm going to we can take a 2 minutes or 5 minutes break, and then we request that each session to come through in fact with the presentation. In reference to the item we're going to deal with after the break. It says, for community people use to work with the written like that on top. It's a community people who are disciplined community members, but it has been restricted to non-committee members. So I'm the only one who has it. I mean, we need to put that out.
Chairperson, that's one small matter. It may be important before we start that I declare my interest. That's for the period under review. I was a member of the board of ATDPC and a member of the finance committee. So maybe it's important that it should be known because it's also on my cost and I guess I'm required by law to know that.
So that you ask me the question by name, tell me who wrote the form. And somehow I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because how I got this one as well, because among some of the documents on the table today, I picked this up on the table, I remember now. Because I think that all this I had, and I just picked two documents, and it happened to be one of the documents I had. And I just picked it up. So the highlighted part, I highlighted it with my card. But it says on top, both for community deposits, do not distribute, both 16, Department of Higher Education and Training, it commends from Treasure, it's not Treasure. They are alleged, yeah. We have also. Okay. So that's something I would understand. In the same what we were yesterday, of the news that we received, unfortunately for Honorable Mokaz was not part of us. We were in a very unfamiliar and different things after receiving an 80% off. So that's why I understand why members would not even have seen this. Because anything that has to do with money and accounting was very difficult for me. So we're very, very much our staff. Just because it's been an CEO, I noticed that the presentation is a bit long. I'm going to request you to try and find a way of speaking to some of the slides to try and save us time. I'm not kidding to you. In your presentation, and I hope that my appeal
we were very happy when the festival was ready to have shot, so we have come to do. Yeah, very well prepared. But before that, I will give it to our chairperson, Mr. Mudumela, just to give you an overview of the government structure, who are we, and the question that we raised, we'll try also to respond to save time. And in terms of the people that are here in their experience and in regard to the retention of funds. Go ahead, Mr. Mudumela.
No, thank in brief, EDDP CETA is having a functional board which is comprised of an equal representation of organized labor and organized employers representing 12 constituent member organizations. We have the levy paying organizations as part of the employer and the provincial and national departments of education. The board is mainly assisted by committees as well as chambers. We must inform the committee that constituent members are highly represented in both committees and chambers in terms of equal representation of both employer and labor, which are in the main responsible for driving the program of each division. So the report which will be presented by the CEO as well as the two senior members of staff will be a representative of the constituent members which are assisting the division to make its mandate. I will therefore hand over to the CEO to make a presentation.
Once more, to the Honourable Chairperson, the Honourable Member of Parliament. Good morning. I will quickly tell you the issues. I understand the constraint of time. I've been appointed as Electricity Speaker in August 2004. I'm the second CEO since the inception. So there was the first one, finished the term, and the second one. So there has been consistent. Dr. Margaret, next to me, was appointed on the 4th of January 2005 as the head of the government for leadership, but now for COO, which has been the appointment since 2006. Mr. Wayne Watson has been the financial management accountant at Sina Leather since 2003, but for the last 2 months has been acting as CFO. Our CFO was appointed in 2004, has since resigned. Our charter principle in terms of our constitution, we will take on an annual basis. So that it is that we can bring the stuff 5 years into the system, but something that is. I will again say that we submitted the initial presentation, which is very clear and visible. But last night, for continuous improvement, we inserted, we looked into the issues that might have omitted. And I want to apologize that the slide is not on here. But on the table, the same kind of table, is just the rearrangement of the presentation. Briefly, we'll look in terms of the performance against the MSDS 2 objectives. How far have we gone in terms of our mandate? Summary of the achievements of the last 5 years, but I know that the committee is looking at one, but we're just going to give you an assistance, but we'll give you the annual performance of the MSDS. And we'll just give you a sense of how they have related with the last 5 years. Our equity targets, which is things that are part of our transformation agenda. Income time, budget analysis that was given by the CFO, and expense spend. We'll look in terms of the provinces and try to cover all the questions that have been raised so as to work out the time constraints. Look in terms of our stakeholder engagement, deal of culture, tolerance, and provider support, achievement challenges, recommendations to the committee. The first line, the first presentation we sent to you, it does not have the recommendations to the committee. But before that, I still have to school that we also communicate and we understand our plan and the data of our future plan. I must say up front that we are not having any core services that are outsourced for the future. There was a perception that across the system, we have been coming internally for our financial, our supply chain management. We only get service providers to do those that are not our customers. For instance, we have an annual report. We do it ourselves and get only the design and the printing of that. So we don't understand how we can do it. You will see from our financials and our contractors. Let me go in terms of this because the status is gone, but as the speaker, we have 12 constituencies. And that involves the vocal parties, the same loans. 50 different departments of education, national and provincial, higher education institutions, further education institutions, NGOs and CBOs, libraries and archives, out-of-based education training centers, private education and training institutions, as well as the independent schools and school government bodies. So we are a big actor. And I must say that normally we call ourselves as a stakeholder forum, not on that school. And we don't have business. These are our performance on the NSDS objectives, and we try to report in terms of our money on an annual basis. The first column will show the number of the NSDS objectives and the indicator that has been given to us by the NSDS strategy. And the second, so the third column will give you what was our target for 2009 and 10, what we have achieved in 2009 and 10, and the comments where we have overachieved or underachieved. So it gives you a clear sense in terms of how are we doing in terms of our money. In terms of the sector field plan, because we have to make sure that as a sector we lead in sector field planning, we determine the plan, we determine the supply and the demand, we determine the gaps, and we advise our sector in terms of what fields are in short supply, what fields are in excessive supply, and what is the demand. And we put that information into the sector field plan, and we distribute it in our scarce and skills critical guide, and then we provide it to our constituencies. And we have been successful in doing that. And if I may highlight that, we have found that in education, we have a serious shortage in terms of mathematics, science, and technology. We have a shortage in terms of the integrated practitioner. We have a shortage in terms of financial management, sorry, financial managers in the ECD sector, not only in financial. We will have a serious shortage in terms of leadership, management, executive, and support. And therefore, those are the critical kind of areas that we need to look into the next level. And therefore, what we do in the second one, we just did with about a document where we compile the scope and discussion. And this is the document that we use across to make people aware of the kind of the current services that they need to make in the sector. The other one is that we are looking at the WSPs and the ATRs as it was indicated. As a sector, we make sure that we receive our workplace plan by the date of June. We look in terms of the receipt of the annual training report and we do analysis of those and we call the stakeholders in terms of looking into that. And then we are able to pay in analysis that. Analyze and capture those. And so far, we have been able to go beyond because the time and some institutions are created and some diminished, but we're able to make sure that we overcome. In the last few years, if I may say that, with small learning team organizations, we did have a challenge. But in the last financial year, all large, medium, and small learning team organizations, we were able to make sure that the money is done in place and supported the small learning team organizations. Our other target is to assist less economic empowerment and cooperative within the institution. I must raise the issue that we have found it difficult to get cooperatives within the education sector, and this is defined by the Cooperative Act. But what we have done, all those small kind of organizations we support, we're looking at the small training providers, we're looking at the NGOs, we're looking at the non-leveraging organizations, and this time we'll be able to do that as part of the transformation agenda. But also we have used now the DEs for CAR in terms of not only looking at the activities, but the ownership and management. And those are the criteria that we're looking at when we're doing that, especially within the training industry where our skills are. The other target is to look in terms of the other level 4, other grade education and training. So in terms of the general performance of the sector of this, it is not very good. We have done our executive center and we have been able to overachieve. But the constraint around this is that employers don't produce records for other extent. And most of our other learning is structured that is after hours. That is the challenge. We need others that is going to happen during daytime and then the workers will be able to do that. The other issue is the completion rate that we're doing. But as the community center, we manage for this other target. We are given a target of 4,500. We're able to do that. And we have the completion at this part. It is too long for us to get the completion. The other target is to support non-leveraging enterprises, non-governmental organizations, community-based organizations, and the cooperatives. And also, within community-based organizations, we have worked with a lot of some kind of successes, especially in government, and we supported them in getting benefits and incentives. So we have been able to overachieve our targets. If you look in terms of our comments, all our targets are about 100% achievement. Now, the question would be, what is the baseline? We have been given the baseline by the department. But because we bid in a process and we don't use mass kind of consultants, each time we took a bid, we had a budget. So we get some kind of budget that is left. We take more than that. Because we believe that we don't have to pay children or people getting into training. And then the bodies agree with that we can exceed that kind of training. Before we finalize the year, we take more. And that is that. On unemployed people, the unemployed people have been assisted in terms of different learning programs that include benefits, apprenticeships, and their basic entry into high-level intermediate staff skills. And we have also assisted them in terms of the internship. If you look in terms of that, we have various kinds of benefits that we have put our learners into. And we have looked in terms of early childhood development benefits, community development benefits, occupationally directed benefits, out-of-based education benefits. In addition to benefits, we have qualifications because if you look at our sector, learners of education for the students get up to level 4. But most of our people, they want something beyond. And therefore, we have funneled some of our resources for mentoring, especially for the learners that are passing in 12 so that they can access higher education. And although the issue of activism has never been identified as part of the core business for CISA, because it was a national core, the CISA undertook to assist in activism development and apprenticeship. The other one is the intensive. I think there's a great demand on the intensive, and that shows kindness of unemployment. And we have been able to overachieve those kind of targets. Other aspects that we have looked into was the intervention on the work-based learning. which is different from an incentive. Workplace experiential learning. In the past, you'll find that if learners were doing in other sectors, civil engineering, before they complete their studies, they would go to a workplace to get that experience. Now, many employers are not doing that, and therefore, this has had to be surveyed to support learners to complete their curricular program. What the media did is that we chose teacher education as one of our teams, and we took a number of those into teacher training, the teacher training kind of courses that they go to. When they go to the rural areas, some of the teacher education students, they don't live there, and they don't have enough funds to come to go. And what we found was that in the meantime, they teach because they will get the report from that because they can't come. So we're working with the teacher education institution to support teachers in terms of getting that kind of experience, the same training of teachers. The other one, which was a great success, is the women population that was targeting our learners. What we did, we trained them on the women population that is accepted by the system. And each year we follow 100 of those that were trained out of 273. And 50 people that they get business center. We managed to register them with the Department of Trade and Industry so that they can get the business. And we're supporting some of those learners. But I should have been 12 months after the commitment. The other one is on institutional. Institute of Sectoral Occupational Excellence. What we did in this one, we identified, especially the federal education training institutions, those that were doing well as our ideas. And what we did with those was make sure that we developed a program together with them and support those that are struggling and the emerging providers. We identified the institutions that were doing well and we supported them. And we have exceeded the target in that account. The other one is to improve the general quality service delivery of education within the NCSM platform. And we have been able to improve the performance, especially with the accreditation of private providers, and ensuring that the program of good quality, and then we have been able to get a rating. The same stuff that shows that our accreditation and content of the program is a good one. So I want to go on the comment around the last 5 years, but you can see in terms of we have been gradually improvement, continuous improvement, educating the district. We have always achieved about 100%, except at the beginning in 2005 and 6. Where the NFC was transitioned between NFCF1 and NFCF2. And at this data, we decided to take a different approach on many of the things and started afresh. And as we look in terms of that in the previous year, currently we're corporate with ultimately scale of 5. We have been corporate 1, corporate 7, corporate 2, corporate 3. But in terms of missing our targets, we're going to be on equity targets, we make sure that we comply with the targets because the target is controlled in agenda. And our target is to train 85% black. So if we have 100 in the training group, we make sure that 85% is black. And we have made sure that we achieve 95% in the financial year. Women, our target is 64%. We made a target of 69%. We are just at the compliance with the disability, and it's something that we need to look into. But again, we're not looking in terms of entering tables. We also look in terms of, do they complete our program? Because when we started, there was a challenge in completing. Now, if you look in terms of, there is achievement rates that are significant, except for the disability, it's taking a little bit slower than we have anticipated at this point. So that really says in terms of the performance against the NSDF targets. I've given the overall performance in terms of what was planned and what we have achieved. And I must assure you that we have achieved not only the numbers, but the quality in terms of that. In addition to that, I've just given us an overall. In the provinces, the COO will go into details in terms of that. We have three provinces that have been established since 2006. In Eastern Cape, we have an office in Kislandan. In KZN, we have an office in Durban. In the Bongo, we have an office in Kilokani. Our board did take a resolution to have offices in all of the provinces last year. And during the transition, we are not that sure that this is what we have a plan that we're going to open offices. In fact, we have Western Cape already identifying the office. We just need to follow up on October to approve that office in Western Cape and Northern Cape. So the provincial presence. In addition to that, since we started, we have provincialized our structure. And we are dedicated structure for the community government. But the provincial offices are three at the moment, and we are going to have nine in addition to having. On constituencies, we send the overall performance that we're having. A right indicator that we have 12 constituencies. We take time and care to make that sure that each constituency is covered. For example, trade union and political party. We have a qualification specifically for trade union qualification so that at least we build that trade unionism kind and professionalism. If you look in terms of the ECD as a constituency, we have qualifications and practices that are supporting that kind of a sector. If you look in terms of other basic education, we're working with other planning networks to improve other planning, and we're giving some kind of valuable input. Right now, we're dealing with the qualification for second-class planners, and LCD is where we're leading to with the discussion and the test. With youth, we're working with NYDA in ensuring that the second-class program, and we committed about 2 million for that. And with disabilities, we're working with an organization that needs to be called some of the camps, but they are confirming. We are working with that organization to make sure that the disability issues are being addressed. On schooling, we are making sure that the career guidance in all as we move from one problem to another. So those are the big kind of, it's not just the numbers at the end of the day. We're able to attach numbers to the people, to the constituencies, to the provinces, and be able to report accordingly in terms of that. The COO will just give you an elaboration on the provincial programs that we are having and how we have been able to assist around the issue of unemployment and underdevelopment. But what I want just to highlight is that in the Eastern Cape, we took a decision which is outside our target certified department. A decision with Water School University and Umfang of Municipality to resuscitate the agricultural teacher college there. Because we believe that as a teacher, we can assist in the teacher training around that. And that debate and engagement that has taken since the beginning of the year. And we'll support that in terms of the materials and teacher development. With another case, we have worked with the Office of the Premier on the project called War and Poverty. And where we have agreed to look in terms of the households that are there, and supported about 100 youth, 150 youth, they are doing household surveys to understand what is the situation of each and every household to assist the government. And we're doing that through our legacy community development, and after that, then get permanent employment. In GR, we make sure that all the learners that are coming from the school that are having low financial income from their parents, that they're getting the bursary. And we're working with the municipalities and the people in GR. And in all the provinces, we're participating in education funding that are there because we believe that our role is really on improving the quality of the education system. In terms of the and I must say that we took a quite in terms of we have led the teacher development summit so that we believe that the teachers are there. We have also took a lead in terms of the NCC summit to make sure that everything is right. And we're taking a lead in terms of ensuring that they are equally with our practitioners. And that university will have a well integrated learning program. So the COO will typically give us promises and give us to the finance manager to give us a little bit of the financing.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me just give you some background with regard to how we assist the provinces. Our government took a decision to look at the provinces in terms of the size of the province, the poverty index of the provinces, the resources that the provinces have, and they developed a distribution model for the system. And through the distribution model, which we use, we're able to allocate resources to all the provinces. And what I'm just going to do is give you a spreadsheet in terms of what our programs were in the provinces, as well as the number distribution and how we assisted them. We have all our programs running in all our provinces. As indicated earlier, we have learnership, skills programs, bursaries, internships and workplace agreements. And in terms of the spread of the, we look at the Eastern Cape, where we have learnership, skills programs, internships, and I'm not going to go through all the numbers, but just in terms of the achievement we can have a look at, and we can have a look at the equity. As one thing that I must point out is our disability. We have put an intervention together for disability to ensure that ultimately we reach our disability target. But of the experience of CETA in discussing with the disability organization, we found that it was best to actually, when we target them, we target a particular group, and through that, we have a partnership with them, and in that way we get the adequate number of learners in the class, because each disability is treated differently, so we need to grow them accordingly. And in that way, through that process, we are able to reach our target. The distribution, if you can look at between Eastern Cape, KZN, and the Limpopo provinces, those are the provinces that, in terms of the size of the province, in terms of the poverty, those are the areas that, as a CETA, were indicated as provinces that are most needy of skills development. So a lot of our resources were put in there, as well as our provincial presence. How we actually identified our provinces was through that process, and our board took the decision that those are the ones that we must start with in 2006. If we move on, as I said, I'm not going to go in too much detail on the actual spread, but it's just giving an idea in terms of our presence and how we're operating in each of the provinces. We have held in visas in 8 of the 9 provinces, where we go about, especially targeting rural areas. We indicate to learners the types of skills and critical skills in the sector, and encourage them to participate, especially in the ETD sector, especially to become teachers because of the shortages of teachers that we are experiencing, and possibly when they choose a career, not only do we give them the ETDC CETA information, but all the CETA information in terms of sharing the skills and critical skills guide. So when they do actually choose their careers, they will choose careers which are skills and critical, and in that way, placement becomes easy. We don't want the learners to train for the sake of training, and then they end up having a qualification and they're still being unemployed. What we also have is the provinces, the programs, as well as the budget for province, as well as the expenditure. And as you can see, within the Eastern Cape, we have about 15 million of the budget for 2009-10, and what was spent was 8.9. Let me also indicate that our programs run from a minimum of 12 months for our learnership, and some of our programs, our bursary programs especially, go up to 4 years, and that's the teacher qualification, the BS. So within that space of a year, we're able to at least cater for the learners, but we also need to ensure that
When the man is caught, we ensure that we support them for the full qualification. With regard to the provincial highlights, throughout the period, as indicated by our CEO, we have gradually increased our completion rate. That is through higher monitoring and evaluation of the project to make sure ultimately that we follow the learners and set the learners from when they start until they complete, so that we ensure that there's completion. What we also have is with our constituencies, we support them more, and in that way there's better participation. There's more focus in terms of the areas that they have identified, and in that way they become more productive in the workplace after they get the necessary skills. With regard to the stakeholder engagement, we have indicated that we participate in provincial structures, and particularly in partnership with the extended public work program. The CETA is assisting in running ECD programs, making sure that we prepare state practitioners so that they have the qualification and they're able to provide quality ECD services to the community. We participate in the PGDS as well as the Skills Development Committee. I'm not going to go into the quality assurance, but safe to say that we have many providers within the system. However, when it comes to the spread of the provinces, it's not equitable. We find that mainly in Gauteng, Western Cape, KZN, we have most of our providers there. And what we bring as a CETA, we're trying to reach out. We have a partnership with ASEP, and in that way, we hold workshops in all provinces, especially in remote rural areas. And through that, we encourage them to actually become a accredited provider. And through that process, we hope that the quality will improve. And we will also have providers to participate in the programs within the community, and also not necessarily bringing providers in without leaving skills there, making sure that the providers are in the communities, and through that process, they provide the skills. I'm not going to go too much into our achievements. I'm sure that our CEO will just wrap up through that process. But safe to say that we are constantly reaching out to our constituencies, we're participating in the provinces, and we really strive to ensure that we reach our constituencies so that they can become empowered. We, in terms of our equity, in terms of the especially leadership and management, women leadership and management, where we're encouraging, especially through our partnership with NISA, where we're encouraging lecturers, middle managers into a program that is proven to encourage leadership and management course in higher education, and through that process they become eligible for promotion. I will stop there, Chair, because of the time constraint. Thank you. Slide, which is a budget analysis.
maintain sufficient WSP to be able to pay out the amount of funding that we receive. In administration, the administration is running at more or less the same sort of percentage that it has in the previous year, and also the same in relation to the amount of discretionary. But what we do see in the discretionary expenditure is that we pay down considerably more than we actually receive in funding in the year, indicating that we are coming to the end of a lot of longer-term contracts, and we are now paying out money which has been received in prior years, and is now moving towards reducing the amount of money that we have in the bank. The next slide, entitled Commitments Against Cash. The aim of the slide is to indicate the amount of commitment that the FIFA has compared to the amount of cash that it has in the bank. The idea being to show that the amount of money that we have committed in contracts and in amounts voted by our board, and also the amount that we have in current liabilities, we'll have to cover at the end of that year, is more or less equivalent to the amount of money that we have in the bank. The next slide, titled Components of Commitment, is just a little detail there of where those total commitments come from. We are carrying $80 million from the previous year in signed contracts. And the amount of $150 million at the end of that year was approved by the board for use in the following year, during which time contracts will be signed and expenditure will start to be incurred on those contracts, totaling $256 million as we saw in the previous slide. The next slide is sector statistics. This is giving an indication of the number of organizations that we have over the previous 5 years in the ETD sector. The number of organizations can be seen as steadily increasing. The number of organizations that we are paying levies to is also steadily increasing, and the number of WSPs submitted tend to be up and down, but we've at least seen from the amount of money that we've spent on mandatory grants that we are in fact on an increasing trend there, so we must be then paying money to, even though we are getting less WSPs in, we are paying out money because we are getting more WSPs from levy paying organizations. The second last slide, expenditure trend. Unlike what we have seen in the previous slide, and I think all it's indicating to us then is that the increases in expenditure are more or less in line with the increases in income in those, except that we have improved situation within mandatory grants. The last slide then is expenditure projection. What we are saying here is once again that we have $86 million in committed contracts that we are carrying from the previous year. We are going to be contracting for $150 million of funding which has been approved by the board, and if we add to that our current liability, we will come to a figure which is very much in line with the amount of money we had in the bank at March 2000. Thank you.
Thank you.
at the report of the agency, 1.11 and 1.5 that can be used as a they are supposed to be for the agency. We had a meeting with the public provider, so that the cost of our dependent, they got all of the reasons to support the special to come to where we had the put out the tender for the 9.2 and one private provider wanted to send us to the because our settlement purposes appear that the 10 days have become peculiar, not only the bank sector, we tend to be able to utilize the services of public institutions. And we make sure that as if we leave all those private providers because we have the public institutions. But the private providers don't have to cost and demand that the tenants of public institutions instead of time. To them because they had tender far less than the market price. Our market price in terms of the program for the value of the benefits is 2.5 to 2.9. Yeah, they were the only one that tendered is 9,000 and it was below 2.0. The market kind of price. And when we had the cost because of the pricing, the price of the income coming to us, they gave them the high. And then the guard, the rules, against that we can save the premium to a project service provider and other things is the tender was set aside. And they were set aside at the time that the people have already been paid. So the 5 million is not money that went in vain, but it has already paid some service providers that maybe they were prior setting out, setting aside the tender, which was close to the closure of that service and went to the compliance of that. However, we have discussed with the department in terms of how best can we work with public institutions. Because at some point, the second aid is going to be the same as the public institutions. That is the major one that we have.
Thank you. Lucas, I'm looking at the time. We are expected to be here at the session 1.48, another community to see from Kyoto. So let's check that we need to be here out of this community when it's later at half past one. Because the room must be prepared for the next community meeting. And we still have the presentation by the DG. So I want to appeal every meeting, noting the time that we don't have much time anymore. Can I open hands a minus one member? Honorable not engaged in this report in this capacity as a member of parliament. Can I mention Honorable Fandam Stephen, Honorable Makubeni, so that Honorable Mission is developing?
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a question. The first point is how many staff members does the ECDP CITA employ? And second, what is the full value of the bursary commitments that you have entered into in terms of the training of teachers? There was one slide in which you referred that you are supporting many teachers with their studies. If you could just give us the value of that bursary scheme, thank you. Almost the same amount.
Now, before the court of rules, you know, the leader who put the camera aside, was it not possible for me to put that on hold and see the court processes were concluded? So that the mother wins some outcome from court and the next thing going ahead anyway. The essential training are now, if you are able to get a head radiant or a head stroke, or still as I know, it will not be just on your level, in many other people are frustrated in that they can go. But if we have in this account of particular institutions, or if we have some that we have contact with our community, so that we are able to learn from them and are able to assist in other people who may be frustrated in their own area of time.
Honorable Mission. Thank you, Professor. And speaking on the experience, Captain. I'm noting that the administration that is equal, the facility to the discretionary experience. One important thing, because I see that 16%. That's one of the things for the two kinds of people. The 16% for administration. That I don't know how to comment. And for the member, I just want to put it to the EDC channel, and I'd like to the chair, as a team chair, but we were not able to give you sufficient comments at me. And noting that we have not had an engagement with the speaker. But I think one would appreciate the document. Even on the last one, when we spoke about the short, we talked about the document itself. So the document is quite precise and quite elaborated in terms of the issue. So you are able to pick what is happening where, and honorable member of the on page 26 and 27, we study the subcomplement of the teacher. That's something quite a detail, and you're able to know what that is and have come back. One area that I want to speak on, CEO, you are counting on the irregular signature on the training provider, but you're not accounting on the regular signature of the other two. Late payment of which you ended up with maybe penalty. How did you end up with that one? Changes of life or cancellation of life as reflected. As I said in a comment earlier on, we are one committee that says that it's in audit, not within audit. It can have a reflection of good expenditure. And the thing or it must be very capital performance. So that I'm just worried about it. There's another area where I just want to pick one the buzzers. There are areas provinces where you don't talk about buzzers. And this based on a demand or how do you determine that position? I can't remember which page, but the provinces where you provide buzzers, the provinces which you do not provide buzzers. And when I look at them, it's every type of province that you're providing. Others that are expecting over and keep. Can't remember what it's like. I'm so confident and expensive and over and keep. I think that's great. We are providing father. And the rest are not providing father. What is the thing is not there? And just to finish here with the one.
Thank you once more for the time. I think on the staff members, I'll just go through the process today. We have a staff establishment in Paris and Fong, currently working 8-9. Reason for that, in the last financial year, because of the confusing of the tutors and also the team leaders, we did not increase the staff complement. all that we did could be the same way we just said in the city that we are there, but we were not headed to go. We were listening in terms of the battery, the funding model for the battery of the number, so we can aggregate the amount. Legal fees, yes, they have increased because when you have the company, the specialist is one that says, and when you lose, you have to pay even the lawyer of that other party, even if they do. And I must say that within the 5 million, we have included in the criteria of the fee. So I have to say that. So that is the, that's why we have said it as a sector, because the things that came involved also legal fees that we have considered. And if you look at the previous year, we do not have such huge currency. We have acknowledged that. In terms of identification of the project, this goes together with the shared question on why some buffer is not. As indicated by Dr. Magath, when we work with the government, we do thorough consultation. We work with the premier in terms of the growth and development strategy. We work with the Skills Development Committee, and we take from the needs of that province. Because our teams are representative of the provinces and also our constituencies. So we work with constituencies. So our skills, we don't ever think as a leader that this will be what we get. We give allocation in terms of the funds, and then we ask the constituencies and the provinces to give us the areas to save more of the money at this point in time. But with the unemployed people, if you look at it, provides our services. It's only for the workers in time, not always used for the batteries. And some of the batteries this year were through the meeting rooms that we had and the current guidance of the land that we had. So it's more of demand there. And around also the issue of the Mr. Cotton deal with the commitment and expenses. On the cotton, part of what you're saying is accepted for us. When we completed the tender and everything, there was no query from the service provider. We concluded it by end of June. And the training started on the 1st of July of 2010. So there were no issues around that. This provider said to us, there are three private providers that are not registered with the Department of Education, and they are killing us. We provided the information that they do comply, they are accredited, they are registered with the Department of Education. Then there was nothing in your tent that we can do. In October, they sent a letter, that's why I think you know the date. They sent a letter demanding the call of the Dean Evaluation Committee and the Dean Administration Committee. And then they said that we had a policy on information access, so apply through that policy, then we provide you with the information. Mid-October, that was the 15th, we got a letter that said that on the 20th of October, we must submit information to court in terms of the purpose. There was nothing that was saying that we must submit all information. So in September, the program started only distant page where the provider was given the deed. Because gave to all of them, even this provider was given the distant page. It was one provider, one kind of problem to make sure that it was qualified in the system. On the 20th of October, we provided our document to the court. We worked with the lawyers are shown. Only on the 14th of December that we gave this report. We only appeared in court for our side and their side, except the documentation, on the 14th. And on the 15th of December, there really was given. So I'm just saying that there was no way for even negotiating with the provider because we could have worked out something to do. But it came not as the issue. And at some point, we thought that the master is in some kind of difficult information, which are things that we need to make a kind of issue. Because all procurement processes were fine. The only issue was that the judge ruled on the time, and the judge said there's nothing to remove Leonard from one provider to another. And it was like a single issue which was not understood. But when we went to measure with the board, it was going to delay the implementation if we had to appeal to the court. So there were quite a lot of issues that could not be resolved higher than. In terms of the experiential training, I must say that there's quite a lot of challenges there. But for us, we focus on education and training focus. Hence, we focus on teaching practice, I guess. and it was quite a great kind of success. Because when we got the report, it was found that not all teachers are receiving the bursaries to the NSFAM, and not all of them can be able to participate. If they're staying there and they're studying in their home in one area, others will choose to do practicing in the event because of the financial kind of system. So we encourage them that they must go to the rural area, they must go to those schools and get appropriate kind of teaching students. And that was a great success. Part of that were the equity institutions. You'll find that the ones of those, some of those will stay in Texas, but they can't be employed because of their experience. And they need an 18-month experience within the equity institutions on the campus. And we'll take them those that are related to our student resources for the management and financial management. And I must say that there was a great kind of construction of the system. But in our sectors, I think they are more difficult in engineering, building kind of other sectors, but with us, because we went close to our institution, many were absorbed by the same institution that had the system. But the challenge is not just on the experiential training, because those will complete their content. The challenge is absorption of the intention. Those that have degrees, they have completed. This provides that work experience for 12 months and we pay a stipend of about 3,000. But most of the employers are unable to absorb them. Now the crisis is that they become worse off socially and educationally and in terms of economic kind of growth. Because if you're getting a 3,000, you go for the space for 12 months. The next 12 months, you are worse off and you are disrupted. I think that is the issue that in fact, no recommendations we have posted for the students. We are not in control of employment. We're only in control of facilitating things. And we are not training as a teacher. So those are some of the things of the parameters and how the system can be integrated in terms of experience and things of study. So that there is no name and blame same kind of particular individual. In terms of the accounting, say if you listen to this, our first of time, I said, let me report on the video, which is worrying. Because that has been worrying, in fact, it has been a serious kind of thing. Even our board was really not happy with the issues. But when we looked at our performance system and everything, we saw that it was not on the basis of that. But it came about the development that there's no money in public funds that can go and that is. The issue of the UK issue, we had a little visitor if you look and compare to the one that goes down and goes over to the most often. This was the trip that we undertook to assist the African citizens with the department. But because some members that are having official passports, because British Airways were cheaper than everything. But when we had to go there, we found that there are members of government that are within us. They had used official transport, and there was a saying that they must use FAD. So there was a challenge now when we cancelled others. So it was not that we just decided to cancel. But when we had to book the flight, then those that were using the official passport, and then there was victim of South African, South China, of going to FAD, and because of the cancellation we had to. But we have also taken action in that, because some of the things were done in the region. So this issue was raised by myself to the NGO and the action that I've taken against the person. The other one is on the government situation. In fact, we have a dispute with the government because we have been paying the penalties. So we have been paying the penalties for our staff. But what has happened, it was difficult for staff to reconcile. And we still have a letter that says that we are up to date. But later on, when they were reconciling, they said that for the previous period, you have paid the only sort of penalty. So something that was serious in our budget. And all of those issues were raised to the age that our staff model. But they are issues that we are not very proud of. Because we believe that the city is a stakeholder.
I think two more. Thank you, Chair. With regard to the bursaries, as our CEO indicated, we have a bursary funding model and it's 20,000 per bursary, so it's 40 million there.
The question from the Honourable Member relating to the expenses of administration expenses and the discretionary expenses were seen 16% increase in that line that should be. I think it's perhaps coincidence, perhaps. The core business of the teacher essentially is an advantage of paying managers on the training discretionary payment of the amount of expenses related to the payment of managers is very much constant. So the admin expenses tend to go more or less in line with the amount spent on the discretionary expenses. So the percentage of paying there is.
Thank you very much. I really apologize for putting so much under pressure. I know that it can be easy when you have to account and there's so much pressure and so much you have to do and there's little time. But we really appreciate your cooperation and indulging us in that regard. Thank you very much for this invitation. We really appreciate it. Obviously, interact on the council report, but I just want to thank you for even the conference of the council. I think it's the constituency of the city. If there's anything you'd like to add, we'd obviously contact the secretary. But so far, I don't think we have anything that we still want to ask questions or issues that we want to answer. So thank you very much for that. And thank you. I think we will. From here. Thank you. You can
be sorry, the chairperson. While there's a bit of a changing of the guard here, can I just ask, wouldn't it be possible for us to get the CISA annual statement a day or two in advance? It's very difficult to come and listen to the presentations on their annual performance when we've just received these documents, you know, at the onset of the meeting.
Okay. Now the presentation, yeah, we'll try and make sure that the presentation comes in the area. Otherwise, normally the salon. But the annual report was sent to me in time. I think I got mine earlier through the teaching home. But I think I got them yesterday. And I can't say he really didn't know that I would be caring, so it couldn't have been a good. But I think what we would have been processed to make sure that we get the plan in a time for us to be able to do that. It might have been the impact of even if we said that we had this time to distribute some of the documents. I remember that we had to clear the department one, but unfortunately, we couldn't send everything out I'm infected with the LL on that one. But I'm looking at the issues of the presentation. We have to improve on some of the areas. GT, our apologies. We are seriously trying to keep up with the demand to the PR as a professional.
No, Chairperson, I absolutely understand. I'm amazed at your stamina. Chairperson, there's some slight difference to the presentation in terms of the distributed presentation, but nothing that's complex. And I will resubmit it to the Secretary in case people would find the amendments useful. In the presentation today, you've asked us to present on progress in terms of our expenditure for 2011. As you know, we're halfway through the financial year. And then we are going to look at our NCS allocated in terms of establishing the baseline from the previous Department of Education and Department of Labor. And there are particular functions such as the exam function for SST and ABIC, which we know the baseline is increased. And so we are managing savings very tightly in order to be able to move funds to fund adequately the underfunded functions. You can see that, therefore, in the percentage spend, the one branch which is about over budget is the university education branch. And you'll recall from the Minister's budget that there are a range of matters that he has wished to act on with urgency, including a number of task teams. There have also been a number of universities where we've had to intervene in terms of assessments and special task teams, and that accounts for that agency. Otherwise, you will see that in administration and human resource development, we're managing those budgets very tightly so that we can direct expenses to fund our that is the economic justification, and the reason is exactly what I've argued. The transfer in the country is our plan. Thank you.